of council on Tuesday, March 19th.
I think that because it's a council project, that I have to say that Anathan House has given me really so much that I don't have to sit and wonder about things. I can talk to people. We can discuss them intelligently. And feeling intelligent at my age is very important to me. I think that my ideas are respected and that we can exchange them together with intelligence is very important to me. And I can't imagine anything being more important in the community for older citizens than what Anathan has in the Wild Tennessee gets. Because it's a place to live. And instead of just sleeping and eating and getting and letting time pass, it's some place where you really feel alive and alert and useful, very useful. If any of the things that I read and I can express myself to and I can do something about at my age, I think it's very useful. And sharing is very useful.
How about your larger family grouping now that you're back in Pittsburgh? Is there much interplay among with you, with your brothers and sisters and their families? I know there is. That's the reason I ask.
Well, what I discovered when I came back was that I was an outsider, that I had two sisters and two brothers who were living in Pittsburgh. They're their mates. And that they had made up their own life and had lived their own life for 42 years. And when I came in, I was an outsider. I was invited, but I wasn't needed. I was asked to attend things, but I wasn't needed, and I had to make a life for myself. And I'm very grateful that I have been able to. And I have not depended on my children for anything. They've not needed to worry about me or to care for me. I've been very grateful for that. I have friends that I have made since I came here, and I think I'm useful. I think I'm serving a purpose, and this is how I want it to be.
I'm really more fascinated at the moment by the idea of logistics of the organizational life, since you happen to be in Jewish organizational life. I'm sure that was specifically so. How a few women in many different towns would be able to get together for a Beaver Valley chapter of an organization. You yourself didn't drive, and people would have to come from so many different places. Did you take turns as to where different meetings were from the different communities? Or?
Well, actually, I think that an occasional meeting was such a valuable and important part of our lives that we did take the time and the trouble necessary to go along with it. For many, many years, the council served a very special purpose in Beaver Falls. Besides having the council meetings, they had a Sunday school class there. And maybe wouldn't have had the Sunday school class without that, a council house where most meetings were held. It was a beautiful place. And then as time came on and the Zionist problem began to assert itself. I had to bring that in there. And
but when
the women were very happy once a month to have these meetings to go to.
So usually Beaver Falls was the center point,
yes.
And everybody came from the other communities. Would you like to mention the names of the other communities? Make sure you had Rochester.
Well, New Brighton.
New Brighton?
Beaver. Monaca. Freedom, Kelowna, Midland.
Kelowna? How's that spelled?
C-O-L-O-N-A.
Midland?
One Jew in Kelowna.
Midland?
Midland, M-I-D-L-A-N-D. I think that maybe some even came from this Liverpool, I'm not sure. We had a very, very active council house, council community house.
Did you call telephone between communities, or did you usually do by mail?
I suppose both, but it was almost a necessity for women to have this to do, because there wasn't the Gersha clubs wouldn't have them in them. It wouldn't allow them. They didn't need them.
And you had monthly meetings, usually.
Yes, monthly meetings. They had good meetings. And sometimes we'd have speakers, and sometimes we'd just have enough business activity to take care of them.
And in those days, were the women driving themselves enough? Would they
many
drive
women,
in from the community, or would their
drove.
Family, husbands
many
have to drive
drove.
Them
Many women drove. Sometimes a husband had to. But the bus service was very good. Bus service was excellent.
Did you usually have them afternoon or evening meetings? And on the children from the different communities, getting to meet the children in the other communities.
We don't have Conway. We have Conway.
Conway.
The children met in Sunday school.
There was the one Sunday school for the
Sunday
community,
school
too.
For the whole community. Okay. And but it was a good Sunday school.
Parents usually brought the children in
That's
for
right.
that then, too?
That's right.
And then they moved into the youth group
groups
from there.
Grew
Did you have that any of that PAFTI or NIFTY?
Not
or any PAFTI,
no, none of that, but the AZA.
AZA.
Was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the BB. Y.
Uh-huh. BBYO.
Mm-hmm. And of course, for my children, this came in during their youth. I don't know. I think about the time that my world emerged, that these organizations came to be. AZ and BBYO was very important. But that was all the Jewish exposure that they had.
And then as a group, they would go to other.
Yes,
other
the parents
activities.
Would take them, that's right, the parents would take them. They tried to organize these things. I remember that there was an AZA thing in Rochester. I think I had parties with 60 or 70 kids mm-hmm. in my house. And empty the beds out of my own and put somebody else's children in. They almost had to. Just to show them how many Jewish children there were around and how many there were available. But they really worked with our children those years. I don't know how much is going on today. How much parents put themselves out for it.
Would you like to talk a little bit about the non-Jewish people that you influenced towards Jewish causes? In the valley in the years there.
I was very much surprised that when I was going to Israel, this young egg man of mine was so excited over my trip that he gave me an address of someone to look up in Jerusalem. And when I came back, he asked me if I had looked it up, and I told him I hadn't. And I said, he looked a little surprised. And I said, the reason I hadn't, Laird, is because it was a missionary. I realized that when you gave me the address, and beside not having too much time, I felt that if these missionaries were feeding Jewish children because they wanted to make Christians out of them, I wasn't interested in that.
What year was it that you went to Israel?
53.
Mm-hmm.
I said if they
what,
were...
Did you go with a group then, or you went...
No, I was alone. I joined a group. I didn't know anybody on that group. I went for the people that... have that place up on next to Smith's, up on Mary Avenue. Can't remember the name, man's name in the year that I went. But he sold a year or 2 years later. Sold to Lukashinsky's
Orphan.
Orphan. Sold to Orphan.
Oh, with the travel agency.
The
travel
agency. Yeah, a group were going over and over and over with them. I didn't know, but this young man was so excited about my going and coming, but when I came back, he said that the first time that I would give my report, that he wanted to come and bring his Sunday school class, could he?
Now, what kind of a church did he belong to?
It's a Methodist church in Waterford, Ohio, and asked for me to speak at his church, but he was so excited over somebody having been in the Holy Land. What I started to say before was that he'd given me address. When he came back, wanted to know about the people there, and I said, no, I didn't go because I wasn't interested in missionaries in Israel. I said, if those people were interested in hungry people and hungry children, I would have been very happy to go. But if they were only interested in creating Christians, I wasn't interested in those kind of people. And he says, well, the reason he had wanted me to see it because he was sending $10 or $20 a month to this man, and wondering if there was such a thing. Well, and I says, of course, and what I'm saying still goes. If he wants to feed hungry children, that's one thing. If he wants to make Christians, I'm not interested in it. Well, that became such a thing with him that he took a fish cake from me, and he brought me back something like $30 or $40 that he picked up in his church. And he would empty it out and then bring back, take an empty pushka back and fill it up with these, with money, and it came to a place where he'd give me $25 three, four times a year. And he says, just put it any place you want it, Mrs. Winograd. Whatever you want to do, you do with it. And I would just go so into the skies.
And you would usually what, funnel it through?
Well, if we go to Jewish National Chain Fund, or if it was during our donor, around our donor, it was go to HMO. There was certainly always a need for the money. He would get a letter and a receipt from whoever was in his charge.
And you still maintain the friendship and relationship with him, even though you've been away from him?
Remained a very good friend, but I found, since I'd been in Pittsburgh some time back, he was trying to convert me. And I had to break off his friendship for a while. He really felt that this is someone he wanted on his side. And it was very hard for me to make him understand that we're two entirely different people. I don't think there's anything I'd ask this young man for that he wouldn't do for me. He has already driven into Pittsburgh three times, I believe, and taken me out to speak to his church and to speak to his Sunday school group. And I've been very well received, and he has never let go of his friendship. I've actually gotten love letters from him. He could be. He's younger than my youngest child. And respects me more than I can tell you. Unless he has Jewish blood, I can't understand his feeling.
Has he ever talked about himself going into
it? He's working too hard. He is a farmer, and he does have his chores to do. I don't know whether he'll ever get there or not. But this happens to be one very simple, stupid Methodist who feels that, and he really means well, but he has to be a Christian. His weakest point is the fact that he must be a Christian, and everybody else has to be the same thing. And he's going to try to convert me, and I think it'll be a very cold day in July when he'll get any place at all.
What
you can imagine. He's with tears in his eyes.
So how would you sum up his relationship to you? Like a son? And
well,
and
I say he's like a son. I say he's
as far as he's concerned,
a little bit stupid, because he simply can't evaluate it. He wants to know if after he dies, and of course I'm so much older, I'll surely have been there a long time, that he wants to be in the same place that I'll be. And I'll say to him, well, for goodness sake, Larry, what's right for me is not right for you. What do you want? You're living a good life. Why are you so concerned about the hereafter? You're doing what you're supposed to do here. I don't think you have anything to be concerned about.
They want to make sure you end up in
wants
the same
to make sure we end up in the same place. Place. Well, I hardly think that anybody from Chicago is going to end up in the same place as anybody from Waterford. I don't see how that's possible. Seven, he gave me $95 for the emergency fund. And this time he gave somebody in Beaver Falls $50 and told her to be sure and tell me about it. So if I happen to get up there, I'll get money out of it.